Please, if you have your Bibles, turn with me, 2 Kings chapter 6, and I'll read from verse 1 to verse 7. In my life, I've preached in many places, and today is so special. The presence of God is here. God told me this, and I was amazed. And everything that has happened this morning is what God has put on my heart for today. And I believe the power of God is here this morning. I want you to know you are not here by chance, but God wants you to be here. You could have been somewhere else. There are some of you here, you were planning to go somewhere else. God said, no, come here, and you are here. And God wants to touch you this morning. There's someone here who doesn't know the Lord. God says, today is your day. Today is your day. There are some here who are going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit this morning. Already it has taken place. It's happening. And some of us, we will need the unctioning of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I know God is going to do that. And as we were praying this morning, I felt God says, as we are here, we should put on our spiritual antenna. Please, if you have your Bibles, turn with me, 2 Kings chapter 6, and I'll read from verse 1 to verse 7. 2 Kings chapter 6. Now the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, see, the place where we dwell under your charge is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan and each of us get there a log. And let us make a place for us to dwell in. And he answered, go. Then one of them said, be pleased to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was felling a log, an axe head fell into the water. And he cried out, oh, my master, it was borrowed. Then the man of God said, where did it fall? When he showed him the place, he cut a stick and threw it in there. And it made the iron float. And he said, take it up. So he reached out and took it. Amen. This is amazing. It's amazing. Not that he took the stick and tried to look for it and lift it up. He threw it in there, and it was against any manner of law of gravity, defiled, because the man of God has spoken. Lord, we pray that you surprise us this morning with your word, that we know that the laws of this world are under your hands, your power, and that the presence of the Holy Spirit can change everything. Even in situations where a doctor says it won't work, you are able to make it work. Minister to us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, as we look into this scripture to be able to pray at the end, the Bible says there was a seminary. I have been to a seminary before. That's where we train people to become pastors. Craig has been there. A number of people who are leading churches have been in a seminary where you undergo training to know about God more and be used of God. Amen. And here we have a seminary for prophets. Can you imagine that? That they are trained in the word of God, that they can do what God has called them to do. And in this passage, these prophets had their antenna on and they could sense something is about to happen. And they go to their leader, Elisha, and says, this place is too small for what God is about to do. Hallelujah. It's too small. Can you imagine? Pastor Craig, this church is too small for us. Can you come with us? Let's go and build a big one. We have all the money. We have the cement, everything. We will do it. They could sense what God is about to do. And I believe God is about to do something in this city. And this church, it's in the center of it. And this place is too small for that. This place is too small for that. You see, Elisha had worked under the prophet Elijah as a servant. When God called him, he said, I'm with you. I'm stuck with you. I will carry your bag. I will go with you. Wherever you go. And he was a servant for a number of years. And one day from Gilgal, Elisha said, stay here, I'm going to Bethel. Then Elisha felt in the antenna that, no, this is it. Something is about to happen. And when you read 2 Kings chapter 2, that was the time God was about to take Elijah. And so he said, I'm not staying here, I'm going with you. Hallelujah. Brothers, we don't have to give up. Let's go with the Lord, because there's something along the way for us. So they went. They go to Bethel. And there they had a school as well, a Bethel of prophets. And the prophet said, hey, Elisha, do you know what? Your master, God is about to take your... He says, I know it. Can you imagine that? I have sensed it right from Google. I know it. So Elijah comes to Elisha and says, now we are in Bethel. Stay here. I'm going to Jericho. He says, no, I'm not staying here. I'm going with you. They go to Jericho. Then another group, and this is the group we're talking about this morning, prophets in a school seminary come and they say, Elisha, your master is about to go. He says, I know it, but don't talk about it. Keep quiet. And the man of God, Elijah, comes and says, Elisha, now we are in Jericho. I just want to go to the Jordan, so stay here. He says, man, I'm not staying here. I'm going with you. And as they go to the Jordan, the Bible says at that point, these prophets came closer. They walk a little bit to see what is going to happen. Because the Jordan is there, let's see what will happen. And Elijah takes off his cloak and hits the water. It opens and the two of them go through. Sure. And the prophets are standing there saying, wow, this is great. Wow. After they cross, Elisha comes. Elijah says, well, man, what do you want me to do for you? Now you are here. Because he can sense that it's about to happen. What can I do for you? He says, look, I've been with you. I've seen who you are. I need a double portion of what you have, your spirit. Ooh! He says, this is great. This one, I cannot do. But if you can see me going, it will happen to you. Sometimes, you see, as Christians, we get tired along the way. We get tired. Though we know, we can sense God is about to do it, but because of circumstances, we get tired. And we feel like, let's stay here. It's enough. Let's stay here. Elisha says, no, I'm going to the end. And indeed, he saw Elijah go. Oh, and he cried, my father, and the spirit was upon this man. Immediately, he tore off his own clothes. I don't need this anymore. Threw it away. He picks the one for Elijah. He comes. The river is flowing. He puts it. Ah, it opens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what? Across the river there, the prophets are standing there watching. They say, wow. When you read your Bible, 2 Kings chapter 2, 15. The company of prophets from Jericho who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha. And they went to meet him and bow to the ground before the man of God. And so, things began to happen. Miracles began to happen. In fact, right there in Jericho, they said, we have a problem with the river here. It's bitter. It's poisonous. You can't even plant anything here. He said, bring some water, salt. He mixes it, he puts it in. It becomes sweet water. Not this one here. A wonderful one. Now the place was fertile because the presence of God was among his people. This prophet could sense what God was about to do. And so today in our passage, they go to Elisha and say, man of God, this place is too small for us. You are the one who has received a double portion. This place is too small for us. Let's go to the Jordan and cut trees and have a bigger place, enlarge our territory. And you know what? People who seek God for expansion, the Bible believes them to be honorable people. And that's what the Bible says about Jabez. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Why? Because his mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. But Jabez did one thing. He cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you bless me and enlarge my territory and let your hand be upon me and keep me from pain. Enlarge my territory. Brothers, the point is, we need God to enlarge our territories. We need God to enlarge our sphere of influence. Sometimes you may consider yourself as insignificant. In your classroom, you think I'm the smallest. Nobody thinks so. No, before God, you are a mighty warrior. Hallelujah. In your workplace, you think, no, I don't even have that degree. I don't have this. No, before God, you are a mighty warrior. You have the power. You have the power. And that's what we are talking about this morning. They could sense God is about to do something. And you know what? In the life of Elisha, there was economic boom that has never happened anywhere. There was so much poverty in Samaria that, in fact, people were eating their own children. Some, what they did was, because it was besieged, you couldn't go out in chapter 6. So what they would do is, they would send the doves would go and eat wheat and other things from outside somewhere, and their droppings, they get them as a meal. Can you imagine that? That was the situation. Sometimes we talk of economic meltdown. We haven't seen anything like that. But the man of God says, tomorrow by this time, there will be food in abundance. One guy said, oh, you, even if the heavens should open, this will never happen. And it did happen. That's the man we're talking about here. And so the prophets were charged to move with this man and see what God would do. And see what God would do. I don't know what you are seeing. God is about to do something in Pietermaritzburg. But this morning, there are 3 points I want us to look at. Number one, sustained growth must be prepared from within. If you want to see growth, it must begin from here. Otherwise, it will not happen. That's my first point. Point number two, as we wait to see growth and prepare for growth, there are challenges. We may lose our axe, but we must cry to the master to give it back to us. We may lose. Somebody says the cutting edge. We may lose as we work for the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit in us, but we need to be filled that we begin to move in the power of God. And I just want us to understand that there's a concept of borrowing, and I want you to understand that our lives belong to God. And one day, we will give an account. And so, it's better we hold on to him now. So, for my first point, I just want you to know that there's a man called Driscoll, Mark Driscoll, the elders, we had an opportunity to listen to him. And there's something he said that touched me. He was talking about 18 lessons that he has learned in his ministry. And one of them, he said, 18 painful lessons. And one of them is that the church normally look at where they are reaching out to, but forgets to look at where they are reaching out from. We're reaching out there. Maybe like Craig and myself, Mozambique. Maybe in your case, not there. We're reaching out there. Some in Europe will think Africa. They forget, where are we reaching out from? And brothers and sisters, not until where we're reaching out from, where we are, we've prepared the ground for growth, it will never happen. In many places where there've been revival, it's few people who devoted themselves and saw that God is about to move and began maybe praying and seeking God. And that's when revival comes. If you're not ready for revival, that's what I'm saying. If you are not ready for revival, when it comes, you will never see it. Unless you are ready for the move of God, you will not see it. I'm telling you, God was moving here this morning. The presence of God was here this morning, and is still here this morning. Hallelujah. But until you are ready, you will never see it. Can you imagine? Craig preached about Jonah, and we were all happy and listening to Jonah. Jonah preached for 120,000 people to repent, and he never saw what God was doing. Because he was not ready for it. Can you imagine that? Revival, the best ever revival happened under his own eyes, but he never saw it. And so we must begin from here. Even in our church, we need to be ready for what God is about to do. The rain is on the way. The rain has begun. We must be ready. We must prepare the grounds. Don't wait after the rains. That's when you begin preparing your grounds. You are too late. Now is the time to prepare the grounds for what God is about to do. You know, Jacob was running away from his brother, and he got to a place. He lied down, and he had a dream when angels were going up and down and all that. He never reacted. He never did anything until he woke up in the morning. So, oh, God was here, and I didn't even know. Can you imagine that? Genesis 28, verse 16 says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? He learned his lesson. Brothers and sisters, let's not sleep when God is moving. Let's open our eyes. The next time, in Genesis 32, a man came and he wrestled with that man. All night, he wrestled. He said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. The guy said, no, it's daylight. He said, no, I will not let you go until you bless me. And he was blessed. That's the kind of people we should be. God is about to move, and we should be ready that we move with God. And in our church, I think already we said we are a church on a mission, beginning with the city to many places. But I'm saying this morning that as we do this, the expansion must be from within. And I want to thank God for Craig and the leadership in this church that we've moved from number one to number nine. To me, in the spirit, it's a sign of expansion. It's a sign. If you've been there, you see it's a big place. We can even have a church there. Oh, yeah. If the weather is nice and we take chairs, we can sit on the lawn and just receive from the Lord. God is doing something. It's a sign that God is moving. And I thank God for that. But we must go beyond that. Every aspect of leadership in this church must be ready, must be prepared, so that when God begins to move, we are ready. I know we are having joining course. Can you imagine? You are a leader and you've been asked to come and lead this, thinking maybe there will be 10 people there. You get there and there are 60 people. What would you do? Are you ready for that? That's the question I'm putting to us. The youth calls you, come. Come and speak to us. And the place is packed. Are you going to be okay to minister? These are the kind of things we need to prepare ourselves for. Even for the kingdom kids. I thank God that we begin. And Craig was saying he wished they were here, that we could pray together with them. God is about to move even in the kingdom kids, in the youth. We must be ready to receive of what God is about to do. Hallelujah. And we've been thinking of having what we will call action groups, a place where we can begin to prepare ourselves to be part of what God is doing. And that's exactly what the prophets who could sense what God is about to do decided to do. Hallelujah. But I just also want you to know that, brothers and sisters, as we prepare for expansion, there will be some challenges, and we must be ready for that. The main challenge will be for the guy. He was cutting the tree, and he lost his axe. Amen. The axe head went into the river. Brothers, I just want you to know this principle. If you ever use an axe doesn't just, the head doesn't just fall like that. No. It takes time as you are cutting. And if you are an expert, you have to keep checking. And you hit it so that it stands. And you do it, and you hit it. This guy was not doing that, I think. He was not doing that. He was just cutting. And he loved it, cutting. And it went, boom! It went. Brothers, when you are cutting with an axe, there are two powers at work. The power that comes from your own strength, the energy you put in, and the sharpness of the axe has the power. But the most important thing is the sharpness of the axe. And normally, mathematically speaking, the strength that comes from yourself is directly, is it proportional? No, improportional. Inversely proportional to the power. That means if there's more sharpness, you need less energy. And you know, the philosopher said that and I think Craig read it some time ago. When if we read Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and I think verse 10, the Bible says, if the iron is blunt, one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength. But if it's sharp, just a little bit, and it will cut at an ease. And so I want you to know this morning that the cutting edge, the axe head, is the power of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life. If the power of the Holy Spirit is in your life, you need less energy and less power. But if the power is not there, you pump it to happen. And you get frustrated. You are always angry. That's what happens. And so when Jesus was about to send his disciples, the people, the believers, he told them in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, stay in Jerusalem, wait for me. Don't rush, wait for me until you've been endued with power from on high. And he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the world. So you will begin to move in my power. It's important because he knows we need a power that comes from the Holy Spirit. We don't need more energy from ourselves. What can we do? How far can we go with that? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? A number of us are cutting and chopping and chopping. And even when the axe falls off, we don't even see it. We still cut. And nothing happens. And we get frustrated. Because we're not checking the axe. This man stopped and cried, oh, my Lord, my master, the axe is gone. It's gone. And unfortunately, it was even borrowed. It was borrowed. It's not mine. Oh, my God, help me. And the master came in to help. Are we checking our spiritual antenna to see what is happening? Or are we just kicking and kicking? We need to know the level, the dashboard. When you are driving, you have to check your dashboard. Are we doing that? And so, the disciples waited in the upper room. And the Bible in Acts chapter 2 says, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and they received power. Hallelujah. Brothers, the reason why we need to check our axe head is it can fall off. You see, as we do the work of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, we begin to drain power. Virtue begins to go out. And in fact, Jesus himself in Mark chapter 5, verse 30, when the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years touched Jesus, the Bible says, and Jesus, perceiving in himself that power has gone out of him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched me? Can you imagine that? He could sense that somebody touched me and power has drained, has gone off. As we do the work of God, we begin to lose power. It's just like I was telling some people, it's just like when you're driving your car, you need petrol. If the car is staying at home, that's fine. It can get rusted and you pay for that. But if you are using the vehicle, you need to keep filling in petrol. And as we do the work of God, we begin to drain. We begin, and we need God to fill us more and more with his power. Hallelujah. We need to keep checking. How? Don't wait until the ass goes off. Boom. Don't wait for that. Check. If it's coming, then you hit it and you put it right. That is being filled day in and day out by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, the disciples, when they were filled, the Bible says, because God told them, you will receive power and you become my witnesses. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, the power of God came upon Peter and he preached. And the word says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and they said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Then Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And the promise is for you and your children, who are and those who are far off, and for whom the Lord will call. That's the first point we need to take note of. Amen. That power is for us, a Christian. I know there are some of you here, you have become Christian. You don't even know what I'm talking about. It happened to me. I became a Christian and I didn't even know anything about the Holy Spirit, being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. But one day, just like I'm preaching to you, somebody preached and I got to know that you can receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the person said, come for prayer, I was the first one there. And I can tell you, my experience was like that of the apostles. As I was praying, I could see some fire come on me. I thought I was burning. And my tongue, I thought something was wrong with me. I could not even say anything. Before I knew, I was even speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. And I tell you, I became effective from that day in my Christian walk. Let me tell you an experience that really changed my life. I went home during the holidays because I was in high school, grade 9. We used to call it Form 2, second year. And I organized the people and said, no, we have to do evangelism for 1 week. From Monday to Friday, we will be preaching in my village. So we went to the king's palace. That's where normally people meet. And then we set up the instruments, everything, and we were preaching. We preached Monday, and I was preaching the last day, Friday. And it was about the authority of the believer. That's my topic for the day. And when we set up everything, we started dancing and all that, and lo and behold, it started raining. Oof. So we started pushing all the instruments, taking them for safety. And there was a wooden amplifier. So I touched this thing to take, and I got a shock. I said, no way. How can a wooden thing shock me? Then I could hear clearly God saying to me, what are you preaching on? And it came to me, the authority of the believer. So I said, look, bring back the instruments. And it was raining. I said, bring them. People thought I was crazy. I said, bring them back. We brought them back. And I said, Lord, we are here to preach your word. And today we are talking about the authority of the believer. Lord, we are working with you. We don't need this rain. It will destroy the work. Stop it for us, Lord. Amen. And when I opened my eyes, everybody was clapping their hands. The rain has stopped. Hallelujah. Brothers, it's not magic. God knows what he is doing. And sometimes we don't take God by his word. Sometimes we are so much afraid of our bosses more than God. But he created us. And we are working with him. And his power is at work. Today, in my own life, I thank God for what happened yesterday. I've been rejuvenated. And I think it's about time. We have it. God has given it to us. Let's go for it. Hallelujah. And so, it is important that we know God has power for the believer. And so they began to work. They began to share the gospel. 3,000 were added to them on that day when they preached the gospel. And then the next time they were going to the chapel, there was a beggar there. And they said, well, we don't have money for you, my friend. But in the name of Jesus, just rise up and walk. And the guy stood up and started walking. The authorities were angry. And you know what? In Acts chapter 4, that became an opportunity. And they preached the word. And when you read Acts chapter 4, let me read it. The priest, Acts chapter 4, verse 1. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John. And because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But, verse 4, many who heard the message believed. And the number of men grew up to 5,000. Hallelujah. An opportunity was granted. Because the power of God was at work. Because he promised them, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. And it will go on. The numbers were increasing now. And the Bible says they flogged them. But in verse 23 of chapter 4, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And they, when they heard this, they raised their voices in prayer to God. Sovereign God, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant and our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod, Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with boldness. Stretch out your hand, O Lord, to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And you know what? After they prayed, verse 31 says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. Remember, they were filled earlier in chapter 2, isn't it? And as they were working with God, the axe was coming off. Power was being drained. And they needed to be refilled. Brothers, there are things that come our way to make the axe come off. As we do the work of the Lord, slowly but surely, we begin to drain. And so, even if nothing has happened to you, as you do the work of God, you need more infilling. Otherwise, you'll be using your own strength. And you may even lose the axe head. There are times also, as you do the work of God, the enemy gets angry. And they attack you. Look at this man. What wrong has he done? You go to the hospital. Oh, this one, HIV. In the name of Jesus, get up. What wrong have I done? They attack the man. Heal the man. And look at what happened. They were thrown into jail. Can you see that? The enemy sometimes is not happy when we are doing the work of God. And that drains us. And energy and virtue begins to go out of us. We need the infilling. Hallelujah. And so here in this passage, they were filled with the power of God. There are times as well when, because of our own sinfulness, sometimes we do things that quench the Spirit. Amen. There are times we do things that grieve the Spirit, and the power cannot work. All we need to do is to repent and come before God. He will forgive us. Otherwise, what will happen is we will continue in our own strength, thinking we are doing it. Like Samson. He thought he had the power of God. Even when Delilah, he was in sin, and Delilah has revealed his secret, he thought he had the power. He didn't know the power was gone. Brothers, we need to check our gauge and come before God. Lord, we need your infilling. If I've sinned against you, Lord, forgive me. I want to move in your power. And we will see the power of God begin to work in our way. In Jesus' name. And so, my first point was that we need here begin to prepare for what God is about to do. We need, in every area, be ready, be excited about what God is doing even in our church today and about to do even around us. But there are challenges. The main challenge is that we should not lose our axe. The presence of the Holy Spirit must be upon us. And as the power of God comes, we are able to do exploits in the name of the Lord. But my final point is that the guy said, oh my Lord, I've lost it. It's gone in there. And you know what? It was borrowed. It was borrowed. The guy understood the principle of borrowing. You see, today we live in a world that people don't understand what borrowing is about. Oh, Baba Benson, can you borrow me? That's what they say. Can you borrow me? Okay. Thank you. And that's the end. It never comes back. But it was borrowed. It was borrowed. It never comes back. We all do that. Oh, that book. What was the title? Hey, that I understand it. Oh, okay. Can I borrow it? All right. That's the end.
We all do that.
I've done it a number of times.
It's wrong. Borrowing means you get something from somebody that you want to use and take it after some time. Take it back where you got it from. That's what borrowing is all about. And you know, because we don't understand the concept of borrowing, we don't even think that our life is a borrowed life. We live a borrowed life. The Bible says that God, from the dust, created human beings. And he breathed the breath of life into their nostrils, and they became a living being. But after the curse, the Bible says the dust will go back where? Into the dust, where it came from. And I like Ecclesiastes, the philosopher. He says, he specifically mentions that, and the spirit that is in you, the living being that is in you, must go back to the one who gave it. And sometimes people of this world have forgotten about that. They've forgotten that a day is coming when this temple of mine will go to the dust, and the spirit back to God to give account of whatever he did. And that's why a lot of people are doing as if nothing is happening. They go about life, their own things. The Bible says there was this rich man, and he says, a lot of money here. I'm going to destroy this, this barn and build a big one, get money, enjoy my life. Oh, my soul, rejoice. And the Bible says, God said, my friend, you are foolish. Tonight, I'm taking this thing away from you. I'm taking it. And let's see what will happen to your thousands and millions. People are living in this life not knowing that there's a borrowed life. And so there's the need. That's the reason why Jesus Christ came. That he would die in our stead, and that he will be able to present us unblemished before God. That's very important. And so the philosopher said this in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And he was advising young people. It's nice. I love it. He says, be young, be happy, young man, while you are still young. And let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart. And whatever your eyes see, but know that for all this, God will bring you to judgment. He's reminding you that whatever you are doing, remember, a day is coming. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body. For youth and vigor are meaningless. Therefore, chapter 12, verse 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble comes and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Hallelujah. Especially when you are 50 and over. You can see it. You can see that. You find no pleasure in them. Then he continues and talks about so many things. But in verse 7, he says, and the dust returns to the ground it came from. And the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless. Meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. And so Jesus came that we could entrust our lives in his hand. Matthew 10 says, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. If you've given your life to Jesus, Jesus is not afraid to present you before God. Jude 24 and 25 says, now to him who is able to keep you, look at that, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. And so as I'm concluding, I just want you to know one thing. We are living a borrowed life. But if it's in the hands, if it's washed in the blood of Jesus, it will be presented before God without blemish. You will only be there to just to worship the living God. But if you don't know Jesus, that's where the problem is. If you don't know Jesus, it doesn't matter how many times you've been to church. That's where the problem is. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "Yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day." I'm convinced. Are you convinced this morning that God is able to present your life before God? If not, it's never too late, because he died for you on the cross that you will be saved. Hallelujah. And this morning, I want us to pray. We all losing energy. We all discharging. We need the presence and the infilling of God this morning. We need more power. Brothers and sisters, we need more power even now in the name of Jesus, that our God will be able to work in us. Because God is about to do something in our life, even in your own family. Maybe things have not been working well because the power of God has not been active in your life. If you are here and you don't know Jesus, please, this morning, the Lord says, "I died for you and I love you. I want to present you before your God on that day without blemish." Shall we all stand together?